Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ever have to hear? Again, paying with Citizens. One ding and you're done. Citizens made ready. Visit citizensbank.com/ding to learn more.
Wireless carrier, text and or data charges may apply. Citizens is a brand name of Citizens Bank N.A. member FDIC.
It's a new day, and it's coming at you fast. It could be the day your workforce doubles or the day your visitors quadruple. With Comcast Business, you'll have what you need to take on every twist and turn, like the flexibility to control multiple Wi-Fi networks from anywhere and the power of the nation's largest gig speed network, the one that can deliver gig speeds to the most businesses. Every day in business is a big day. We'll keep you ready for what's next. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with a fast and reliable internet solution for just $69.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get free installation when you order online. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go to comcastbusiness.com today to learn more. Offer ends 9/21/21. Restrictions apply. New Comcast Business 100 megabits per second customers only. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. Wi-Fi Pro extra.
Hey Boston baseball fans, do you know a first responder or frontline healthcare worker who deserves a shout out during a game on the Red Sox radio network? Well, here's your chance. Now through September 24th, head to the WEEI contest page and check out the Home Team Hero Contest. You'll be able to nominate a friend or family member to be recognized by Joe Castiglione during a game this season. The Home Team Hero Contest is sponsored by Proven Winners, the number one plant brand for annuals, perennials, and shrubs.
Howe's is proud to partner with the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon again this year to support the ongoing fight against cancer. For over 100 years, Howe's, makers of the safest and most effective fuel additives, has been focused on showing the power of family and the importance of giving back to the community. You can help the cause too by visiting howesproducts.com/community to make your donation to the upcoming WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Join Howe's in showing the power of family with your donation. Howe's, tested, trusted, guaranteed.
Feeling that intense July heat in your home? If so, you need new windows. Beat the heat with Window Nation's deal of the summer. Get two windows free for every two you buy. Plus, make no payments and pay no interest for 24 months. 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
It's Surf and Turf Weekend at your local 99 restaurant this Thursday through Sunday. They've got three new Surf and Turf entrees. Get an 8-ounce top sirloin paired with a seafood stuffy, grilled shrimp, or scallop and bacon skewers. This weekend only, the 99, always the real deal.
WEEI, the home of the Greg Hill Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey station.
One question, do I feel lucky?
Those hot takes flowing, never really knowing which way the wind is blowing. He's trolling, trolling, bowling, trolling, trolling, bowling.
Go ahead, make my day.
It's time now for...
They call you Trollin' Volin? You look like it.
Trollin' Volin.
Who the hell is Ben Volin anyway?
I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
It's the Ben Volin Football Hour.
Herp derp, like I get it.
On WEEI.
Look at this superstar rolling it here. Ben Volin back for a full hour on the Ken and Curtis Show. And Volin, the star of the day, Curtis, by far. And he brought the Kraft gift basket in with all that booze that they handed out. Unbelievable. Great job, Ben.
What's up, boys? How are we doing?
Pretty good.
How's your football Saturday?
Well,
awesome.
It's good.
Thank you to you.
Yeah, great job by you. I mean, although you didn't ask about Brady. We had a caller earlier that said, take Volin to task. No Brady questions of Bill yet. I don't think there has been, right?
No, but we did. Gasper, I think Gasper eventually asked Bill the question, did you watch the Super Bowl? He asked that in like June, and Bill gave exactly the answer you would expect. So at least that question has been posed to him.
What did he answer? I don't remember that.
I don't even remember. I'll have to go look it up, but it was so not memorable that I don't even remember.
Okay.
So before we get into the nitty-gritty here, so a very strong stance from Edward R. Volan, who was offered, his own name was on a box from the Patriots that was given to the media full of booze and other little gifties, and you declined.
I chose not to take it. The number one, you know, I'm not against, you know, the team once in a while. Like, you get to the game and they have, if they're giving out a shirt at the game, there might be one at your seat. Like, I'm not that much of
an eclair. You've never turned a Patriots eclair down.
I'll never say no to free food. If it's free, it's me. But for this gift, it just felt a little strange. And, you know, number one rule of journalism, you shouldn't be accepting gifts from people. So I'm not judging anyone else. I didn't feel right taking it. So I politely declined. It was a very nice gesture from the Patriots and the PR and Mr. Kraft.
Seemed like a pretty quick little way to get some free advertising from dumb reporters who just open it and tell everybody what's inside.
Free advertising and a way to get some positive coverage for a team that hasn't always gotten positive coverage over the last year.
So very interesting. Ben Volan ripping Tom Curran. Mike Reese.
That's amazing.
Saying that they are not of
that
journalistic integrity.
EEI.com. Ben Volan rips fellow media members.
Reamer somewhere down in P-Town. Open up your laptop. Get that out.
Do it.
Guys are going to get me in trouble again. I'm not judging anyone. I'm just, for
seems
me
pretty clear.
This was my own personal decision.
Okay.
All right. Now, I want to play the full Q&A with you and Bill this morning. Great job by Volan. Here it is from the top, the big news of the day.
We'll take a look at the whole, you know, the whole situation. I don't think you want to evaluate players at any position off of one or two plays or maybe a day. So from a consistency standpoint, that's always important, and obviously production. So hopefully those things will be good. I'm sure it'll be a, you know, hard decision, but we'll see how it goes. Just let them play and try to do what we feel like is best for the team based on their performance.
Do you have an ideal time frame for naming a starter to help you get ready for the season?
No. Well, I mean, Cam's our starting quarterback. I think I've said that, so.
And then there was a follow-up in there as well, Zeke. I want to play that, too, because Volan, appropriately, you know, with that being held out there, you know, the thing that had changed everybody's mind earlier in the week, at least mine, was the clean slate comment. So, well, that's a different thing you're saying now, Bill, from what you said earlier in the week, which was that everybody has a clean slate. And you did follow up on that. Here's how that sounded.
That seems a little different from the other day, because you said the other day everyone starts from scratch.
That's right. Everyone does start from scratch, and again, we all have to reestablish ourselves, and that goes for, you know, a lot of other players that you could name as well. That, you know, I'm sure in your mind you think they're starters, and maybe they are starters, and they probably will be starters, but they all have to reestablish their positions.
So strange. And this is not changing anything. You know, we Ken had sort of made the point earlier that this was his way of sort of coddling Cam, and that, like, he's going to get those questions off his back by stating he's the starter, Mac is not the starter, this will be a little bit more relaxed. Well, the radio color guy, a talk show host across the street, Zoe, tweets out just now, no QB stood out Saturday. That shouldn't bode well for a 15-year vet. Job is there for the taking. So, I mean, this hasn't changed anything.
I mean, Zoe hates Cam, though. Zoe is very biased against Cam. You can tell whenever he talks.
He tweets every day that Mac is the first guy on the field, even if he's not the first guy on the field.
Right. Okay, who is more connected to the team than Zoe in terms of a media member?
Me. Right here.
What are you talking
this
about?
This guy's connected to Kraft. This guy is connected to the action on the field.
You know, it doesn't matter necessarily. First of all, I've watched, this is my 15th training camp, and one thing I've learned over the years is, it does not, what we see on the field is just a slice of what's really going on. And I'm really glad that Bill said what he said today, that Cam is our starter, because it lets us off the hook a little bit. The media rules, you're not really supposed to talk about, you know, who's the starter, this and that. But Cam's been the guy, you know, throughout camp so far. It's been 4 days. He's the one taking the first snaps. He's the one, you know, playing with the bulk of the starters. And Mac is, too. It's not like, like in previous years, the rookie quarterback would be playing with other rookies and the scout team guys. Mac is definitely getting action with the real players this year, but it's still Cam's show. And
that's not a show I think most people want to attend.
So it doesn't matter if Cam goes 8-for-9 and Mac goes 9-for-9. Clearly, the coaches see Cam as the guy still, and that's how it's been since the start.
But the people watching it clearly don't see that as any way, shape, or form as like his job or Mac's job. They say they've looked basically interchangeable.
But no one knows if the quarterback hit the right read or if he missed the key, and you know. Like, this isn't real football yet.
But
they're
if
not
it's
even
close, why are you going with a guy that proved last year he couldn't do it? Why not at least take your licks with a rookie who's going to go through growing pains either way?
Because you can't put a guy out there if he's not ready. And if Belichick doesn't think Mac Jones is ready...
Well, he doesn't know today who's ready. So why would you say it?
I think he has a much better idea that Cam is ready to play. Cam has 11 years body of work. And as bad as Cam... Like, I keep going back to this. As bad as Cam was last year, still won 7 games... Still made some plays, still had some positive plays. And this
had
year.
Had some positive plays. Yeah. Is that what the New England Patriots, our starting quarterback, had positive plays?
You do not want to send Mac Jones out there too early where he's peeing down his leg and just is not ready.
I don't
ready
think
to
anything
play.
Is going to make Mac Jones pee down his leg after being at Alabama, competing against Jalen Hurts, Tua, winning a national title. I don't think he is going to be entering this and be like, oh, God, this is too big for me. If anything, he'll say Gillette's quiet compared to where I played.
I did a research for my Sunday column. You know, Mac only had 17 starts in college. From the last decade, 2011 to 20, only 5 other quarterbacks that were drafted high had fewer starts than Mac. It's like a significant inexperience in college. And 3 of those guys are Trubisky and Osweiler, and it's not a good list of guys who don't have that many starts. So that's not to say that Mac won't develop into a good quarterback, but he just doesn't have a lot of experience right now. And a lot of the guys who do succeed early in the NFL started 30, 40 games in college. So Mac, yeah, he comes from a great program, but he just doesn't have that many reps. He hasn't seen that many bullets yet. And it's not about knowing the offense and accuracy. It's about knowing the defense. And I don't see how Belichick could feel confident about a rookie quarterback who didn't play a whole lot knowing all the answers to the test, as Brady used to always say.
Why did Bill say that today to you? Why did he tell you there is no Cam Newton's our quarterback?
That's a good question, because he had that opportunity the other day and he declined to, and it kind of opened the book for an open quarterback competition. Bill though has been very steady throughout the entire Cam Newton experience, that he has come out unequivocally every time and said Cam is our starter. And I think it goes back to the, you know, establishing who the alpha is, who the leader is. When you have 2 quarterbacks, you have none. So Bill is saying very clearly, Cam is our guy. Doesn't mean Mac can't beat him out. I still think there's a small chance if, you know, Mac just makes huge strides during camp and has just an unbelievable performance over these next 5 weeks, then sure, Mac could be the quarterback. I just don't think it's going to happen realistically.
But don't you think most people they predict or expect Bill to have competition at every position? I know you're saying he still could beat him out. But establishing the alpha, that doesn't seem very Belichickian. Isn't he everybody's jobs up for grabs and on the line?
Well, yes, and I think privately it is, but I think it shows you how much further ahead Cam Newton is, and I think Belichick's trying to nip in the bud any sort of controversy. And
so he is worried about that controversy, the drama. He doesn't want to deal with the drama every day.
I think so, absolutely. The Patriots are always drama-free, and that's what so much of this program is about, is reducing – I mean, that's why – Belichick comes out on draft night and says Cam Newton's still our quarterback. He wants to make it very clear how things stand. He doesn't want the drama of a quarterback, of an open competition, if you will. And I think, of course, it's always going to be there. There's always going to be competition. And if Cam stinks, he's going to lose his job. So
and
I think,
he had 3 fewer starts in college than your guy there, Mac Jones. 14 Cam. Starts at Auburn.
He did. But and the caveat is he also had 12 in junior college. But you're right. I mean, Cam.
We're now adding JUCO. Well, like, that's a good that factoid, just defeats though. Your entire argument.
No,
Cam Newton had fewer starts than Mac Jones in college.
Cam Newton is the one. Is Cam Newton and Kyler Murray are the 2 guys.
So on the Patriots right now, of the quarterbacks, who had more college starts, Mac Jones or Cam Newton?
Mac Jones had more Division
One
college
rests.
Starts.
Thank you.
Okay.
Did Cam ever have a quarterback battle before this year?
Never. Cam is. The last time Cam wasn't the guy was 2008 when he sat behind Tebow.
Well, last year he was pretty clearly he wasn't the guy to everybody except the head coach.
Well, I mean, Jeff Howe was declaring there was a Stidham competition very early, so I guess the Stidham versus Cam competition was hot.
I did give your guy Howe a little bit of credit because he said that Stidham was already ahead of Jimmy G last year at this time, and he's on the shelf, so he's already sort of Jimmy G.
Yeah, wasn't Stidham supposed to be the greatest, had the greatest preseason performance of any Patriots?
He had the most RPMs. He spun the football with more RPMs than any quarterback.
Jim Brown did a feature on his babysitter.
Meanwhile, Stidham's probably lucky that he hurt himself because it probably saves his roster spot for the season. I mean, he'll go on IR now. And
that's perfect.
He'll be around as opposed to if he's healthy, maybe he gets released, maybe he gets traded.
He got hurt at a luau. Is that true?
N'Keal Harry's going to pull that move soon, isn't he? I mean, just get himself a paycheck for the year.
I think N'Keal Harry is certainly hoping that he'll get traded at some point. Maybe the Saints make some sense because they just lost Michael Thomas. I don't know how they can bring Harry back after he already publicly demanded a trade. I mean, how can you be convinced that he's all in and he's committed to your team?
So. Almost punish him for the whole year. Just keep him around and sit him every week. Well, if you want to talk to Ben Volen, 617-779-7937. Do you believe Bill is doing the right thing here by declaring Cam the quarterback? Do you still trust in Bill? Any other observations you would like from Ben and his eagle eyes over at 4 days of Pat's camp, including this morning? And the crowds there today were pretty nice, eh?
No, I didn't go today.
Oh, you didn't go today.
I was not there today, but I've been there for the first few days of camp.
Oh, that was a Zoom. I didn't realize
that. That was the Zoom with Bill.
Today was Zoom, yes.
So what were the first 3 days down there like? What did you see?
Just, you know, good padless football. One thing that stuck out to me, Jonnu Smith, guy's a beast. He is so fast. We saw him kind of coming around the corner and turning the edge and getting to the end zone, and he is so fast. That's the guy I'm really excited to see.
More than Hunter Henry? He's popped?
Definitely more than Hunter Henry. And Henry's going to be a good player. He's more of the Gronk, I think, the seam tight end. And Smith is just going to be such a versatile weapon in this offense. And he's, for a guy his size, he's got very impressive speed. So I cannot wait to see all the different ways they use Jonnu Smith.
What about the receivers? Bourne, Aguilar, how much work are they getting? Jacoby Myers?
Yeah, those are the three guys that are getting the most work. I think Bourne's going to be an intriguing kind of inside-outside kind of player, a big physical slot guy. And then Aguilar he's not going to be a volume receiver, and that's never been Aguilar's MO in the NFL. He's a guy who's going to make, you know, 18 yards a catch, but he might have 40 catches on the season. He's going to be, in a best-case scenario, he's a better version of Philip Dorsett or Demir Byrd, a good speed option on the outside, keep the defense honest, but not going to be a high-volume guy, but a big play guy. And I think Aguilar should, you know, that's a good, like, fourth option. To me, the top three options are Jonnu Smith, Henry, and James White. And then Aguilar with the speed on the outside. That's a good top four.
It is interesting they signed Jonnu Smith first, right? And then Hunter Henry was like the afterthought.
Well, they were talking to both at the same time.
They were.
But yeah, they wrapped up Jonnu Smith first. So it does seem like he was the priority. He got more guaranteed money. He got a third year of guaranteed money from Hunter Henry. So Smith clearly was the guy that I think they really wanted. And then after he signed, Hunter Henry, he kind of regrouped and was talking to his agent and was like, well, does that close the door on us? And the Patriots said, no, we want you to. And so they brought him along in too. But I think if you had to pinpoint one of them as more of the priority, it'd be Jonnu Smith.
Well, I mean, I don't know if this offense will be exciting, but it will be dramatic, I guess, because this will continue all year, right? Curtis and I were trying to determine, based on the crowds being there, four games, every time Mac plays well in preseason now, this is going to come back, right? Bill's not squashed this issue. It'll still be you'll still be comparing reps of Cam and Mac. And then once the regular season starts, if Cam plays poorly, especially at the games of Gillette, obviously, you're going to have anti-Cam sentiment, pro-Mac. So how's Bill going to handle this? What's his patience level going to be?
No question. Cam's in a tough spot. Every time he throws an incompletion, Chris Curtis and everyone's going to be, you know, screaming for him to get benched and let's see the kid.
Totally.
So I think that's why you see Belichick coming out unequivocally so many times saying Cam's our starter. Cam's our starter. He's just trying to nip it in the bud.
Only coddling Cam.
Only Ben Volen could somehow spin a day where Bill Belichick, completely against how he held himself for 20 years as head coach, comes out and prematurely declares Cam Newton the starter into a negative for Cam Newton, because I'm going to say that Mac should be in there. Well, if Cam Newton sucks, then he shouldn't be playing quarterback.
It has nothing to do with today, but just the fact remains, every time Cam does throw an incompletion this year, you guys are going to say, what is he doing in there? Let's see the kid. So,
at the conclusion of last season, if I asked you, do you think Cam Newton will be the starting quarterback for the Patriots next year, what would you have said?
I said, I hope not. I said, I hope they upgrade the position. Right. I wanted Ryan Fitzpatrick. I thought he would have been the best guy.
So you think Bill Belichick failed in that regard?
I question whether he should have done more to upgrade, but at least he drafted a kid in the first round.
So we agree. I think Bill, you and I agree on this.
Yes, I would have liked to see them do more. I would have liked to see Ryan Fitzpatrick over Cam Newton. Yes, I we agree on that.
That doesn't make any sense. Fitzpatrick got benched for Tua.
He didn't.
He's old, and he's not familiar with this system, which at least Cam had a year under his belt.
So I think that's why Bill made the decision he did. Why bring in a new leader, a guy who doesn't know the system, when we at least have a guy that everyone in the locker room likes and we can build off last year? So I think that's what he was thinking. But I just think quarterback play comes down to pocket passing. And Fitzpatrick is clearly, leaps and bounds ahead of Cam in that.
You are the only two in the region that will be questioning that this year.
Maybe.
If we had done a poll on January 3rd, whatever it was, after the regular season concluded, 90% of the respondents would have said, no, I don't want Cam Newton as the starter.
Okay,
next year.
Not Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's Stafford. If you say Matt Stafford, yes. Okay, some people feel they should have traded for Stafford. Or maybe swung an aggressive deal for Derek Carr or something if he was on the block.
ABC.
But not Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Anyone but Cam.
No, that's not true. Not Fitzpatrick.
You could have had, but Fitzpatrick is half the cost and wouldn't cost you anything in a trade. So
but
like,
he stinks. I mean,
but he doesn't stink. Fitzpatrick is.
Bill loves quarterbacks that stink. Look at him now.
He's
how many playoff
the best
games has
career?
Ryan Fitzpatrick won?
Well, he would have last year if they stuck
have.
With him. Yeah.
He would have.
You're right.
Won.
He never has.
I mean, if you followed the story with the Dolphins, it wasn't his play. It was the demand from ownership for Tua to get playing time.
He's been a hidden gem for 13 years.
Well, isn't that
years.
What happened?
Absolutely. 100%.
So, he's great. Washington's going to make the
Nobody's saying he's great. He wasn't benched for Tua.
You watch. You mock. Washington is going to be good and dangerous with Ryan Fitzpatrick this year. They have good weapons around him.
Great coach.
Ron Rivera is building something there. Fitzpatrick is going to do good things for that Washington football team.
Let's go to Chris in the car here on the Ben Volen Hour. Hello, Chris.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Hello.
How are you?
You're
good,
on.
Good. Oh, I'm on?
You're on.
Okay. Yeah. So what I was going to say was that Belichick has to do what he did. He had to do that because, let's face it, Newton in many ways did not get a fair shake last year. He had a crappy offensive line, right? the players around him, the offensive players were mediocre at best. I mean, I'm talking about the receivers, right? He didn't know the place book that well. I mean, the guy was at, he had COVID. There was a lot of things.
God.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is a fair shake at least.
Thank you, Chris. Cam deserves a fair shake.
If I have to hear COVID, long COVID, COVID fog,
well, that's what Bill is saying. And you don't want to hear what Bill has to say.
I think the fact that he's decided that Cam Newton is a starting quarterback, you can officially question every decision he makes now.
Now, do you think Bill, I know you've said you think Cam's the starter all year.
I think he's the starter for as long as he's not holding the team back and as long as he's the best quarterback for the job. If Mac Jones is kicking his butt, Mac Jones is going to be the quarterback.
So far, by the way, that's not the case. Today, it sounds like Mac had a pretty up and down day.
No, and you go back and look at, you got to read between the lines, like in some of these comments. Mac Jones was talking about, you get the ball out quicker. And he's like, well, I don't feel like I'm lost out there, but you got to be able to throw the ball to the right guy based on the. Why would he say, I don't feel like I'm lost if he's not far behind? I mean, he's a rookie who started 17 games in college,
right,
going into arguably the most complicated offense for the most demanding coaches in the NFL. There's just.
Yeah, he has no experience with demanding coaches like Bill.
But not the way that they're demanding here. And
Jeff Howe just tweeted this, and I know you believe everything he reports. Cam Newton led off every period, was 12 of 21 in competitive team drills, not as crisp as yesterday. Mac Jones, 12 of 17, but closed practice 4 of 4 against the starters, probably his best period of camp so far.
I mean, I guess who's to say that, but who cares? It's like shells.
Well,
the guy completed four passes in a row.
Whenever you present other evidence that goes against what you're saying, you say it's who cares.
Well, Bill just said Cam's the starter. I think he's not going to be swayed by four passes against starters to end camp on a shells day.
Exactly, and we have no idea what they're talking about in the meeting rooms and what Mac is trying to go out there and work on during the day.
What did they
say
in the
mistakes are?
What did they say in the meeting rooms last year in December when they lost three straight games and Cam didn't throw a touchdown pass?
They probably said, wow, the other guys must really stink if they can't beat out Cam.
You can text the show at 37937. This one's perfect. 978 texter, can you tell me, Curtis, what your NFL coaching record is? Please shut up.
Let's see. If you listen to me, Bob Kraft, you'd still have Brady. You'd be damn good. He's in Tampa, won a Super Bowl because you listened to Belichick, who settled you once again with a horrible quarterback.
Curtis is 0-0 in Super Bowls, which is better than being 0-1, right? He's never lost a Super Bowl.
Perfect record.
You brought that back, not me. You always hate when we bring that back up. All right, we get to trending. More calls for Ben Volen here. It's the Ben Volen Football Hour. The drama at camp, I guess, is just the quarterbacks, but crowd size has been somewhat of a noteworthy thing. We haven't talked about the defense at all. Gilmore is there. in a kind of a strange method for holding out, if he is holding out. I guess he's not.
He's holding in, but he's not even holding in. Holding in is what Xavien Howard is doing. Like, I'm just here not to get fined. Gilmore's attentive. He's participating. He's working out. Like, Gilmore is not holding out or holding in. He's just there.
All right, well, I want you to hear this Michael Hawley audio where he was ripping Gilmore's tactics over the past week.
All right, let's get the trending first.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
More off-season football talk. Now, this is the Ben Volen Football Hour on EEI.
All right, a lot of good football talk today. Coming up in one, it's Mego and Tommy Curran. How about that? Quick slants, the radio version of it for 1-4 today. Tommy here in the building, so as is Mego. And I'm sure they'll be talking about Cam Newton in the news today. As Ben Volen is, he set the dialogue for the city this morning with his questions of Bill Belichick about the QB competition, whether it's open or not. Bill eventually saying Cam is our quarterback. Before we get back into that, Ben, Gilmore, just to finish up where we left off there in trending, Stephon Gilmore is there. He's not pouting. He's working. He's not holding out. He's holding in, you described it, but it looks like they're going to come to some resolution on this thing.
Well, he's not even holding in. I mean, that's the thing. The first day of practice, he's on the lower fields doing conditioning work with all the other injured players. He comes up to practice. He watches the last 30, 40 minutes from the sideline. He's attentive. He's drawn into the practice. That's what you want to see. To me, if you're the Patriots, if you're going to give this guy, if you're talking to him about a new contract, I think first you want to see that he's invested and all in, and Gilmore's not being a distraction as far as I can tell. I don't know what's going on inside the building, but he's not being a distraction. He's participating. He's invested. So I wrote this the other day, like, okay, it's time to give him the new contract. You spent all this money this offseason. This is your best defensive player. Madden rated him as the second highest cornerback in the NFL, which that's the holy Bible of player rankings.
You really are advocating him getting another deal? What has happened to you?
No, they should give him incentives. They should give him $5 million incentives.
They gave him $5 million last year.
They gave him a salary advance, and why can't they do something similar this year?
What did he do last year to earn a salary advance this year?
He's still, regardless that his stats were lower, Well, he got the salary advance based on winning NFL Defensive Player of the Year before.
Well, he's conducted himself in a way that goes against everything Bill wants from his players, so you'd be rewarding somebody for acting out in the offseason.
All he did was skip a minicamp.
Oh, he's tweeting, he's doing the passive-aggressive stuff. You think Bill likes that?
Well, you're right. I think he doesn't. So and you haven't heard a peep from him since he spoke with Josina Anderson a few weeks ago. And he showed up on time, and he's participating. Like I said, he's invested. They really should just sweeten his contract. I don't know.
For 1 year, not a three-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, I would consider giving him another year just because then you could start like lowering his cap.
I would give him a $10 million bonus if they win the Super Bowl.
Sure, why not? But, I mean, that's what he... It's not $10 million, but it might be like $1 million for winning the Super Bowl and $1 million for the Pro Bowl, and here's $3 million for playtime if you reach 90%.
But that's not being paid what he's worth. I mean, that's not what he's talking about, I don't think. The way he tweeted it was that he is making, whatever, $7 million this year or $5 million, and that is not at all. He tweeted out, was it Hightower or him who tweeted out the positional rankings? But, he's meaning that he should be getting $15, $20
million. Well, he that's probably what he wants, but he unfortunately doesn't have the leverage because he's under contract. So
he's under contract. He was hurt. But
so what I would do if I were the Patriots, he's supposed to make 7-9 this year. I would bump him up to 10 guaranteed and then give him another 4-5 in incentives. It keeps him happy. It pays if he's healthy and productive. It pays him what he's worth. And he's still an elite corner. I know he's on the wrong side of 30 and all that, but he's still an elite corner. He's your best player. You spent all this money in offseason, and you're going to cheap out over a few million dollars for your best player. It would just be bad business.
And you think that gets it done?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, look, if
so
Gilmore...
This is not hardball at all. Gilmore's just coming back. I mean...
I think so. Yeah, I think he's back. I don't think... And the Patriots would be really foolish to trade him, because then that just hurts the team. And what's the big... Why not keep your best player happy? It's not going to make him all the way happy. I'm sure Gilmore wants 17 guaranteed this year. But give him an opportunity to make elite cornerback money. And if he gets hurt or if he doesn't play well, then he doesn't make it. So to me, it's win-win.
How about the rest of the Patriot additions, like first impressions of Judon especially? That's the one guy I'm curious to see how he looks. I mean, not tough to tell now without pads.
Yeah, but. I don't want to fake some evaluation of Judon. They haven't put on pads or anything. To me, I think he's like the upgrade to Winovich, you know, as a guy who can get after the passer, but they want Winovich. They want that player to set the edge, and that's never – you've seen Winovich put on 15 pounds this offseason. I think he got the memo too. That was why he wasn't playing. You know, he had that spell last year where he wasn't playing a whole lot.
Wait a minute. Judon's job is to set the edge, not to get after the quarterback?
Judon's not a pin your ears back and go get the quarterback every play. A lot – you know, I think his career high is 9 sacks. So they paid him like
that's
an elite.
Good. That's like Patriots record. 9 sacks in a year for a Patriots player?
Yeah, and I could see him getting to double digits, but it's not because they're just going to have him screaming off the edge on every single snap. You know, the Patriots, they feel like they can scheme pressure, and they're right. I mean, you know, you can do twists and stunts and blitzes and all that fun stuff. So Belichick's philosophy he's never wanted, which is funny for a guy who coached Lawrence Taylor, but he's never really wanted that, you know, elite pass rusher.
Yeah, Chandler
Von Miller.
Jones, they had it, and they traded him away.
Exactly, because they probably weren't thrilled with the way that he plays the run.
9.5 sacks in 2019 for Judon. That was his career high.
Right. And last year, I think he only had like 6 maybe.
Yep.
But that's – he's not that player. He's not Von Miller. He's not going to get 18 sacks. So I think they just like him because he's stout and can help set the edge. And he's a three-down player who can also get the quarterback.
He was praising Uche when Judon talked to the press. Do you buy into that? Do you think he and Uche are like a tandem? He's going to like coach him up a little bit, bring him under his wing, so to speak?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, sure. And yeah, I think Uche showed some promise last year. He only played like 20% of the snaps, so it was a limited role, but I thought he showed some great athleticism and came on later in the season. And I like some of these free agent additions like Judon, like the two tight ends, because it allows the Patriots to develop the younger guys at a more appropriate pace. You're not counting on Uche to be your elite pass rusher. You're not counting on Devin Asiasi to be your number one tight end. You can kind of bring those guys along more slowly, and I think it'll help their development.
I want to talk about Rodgers and Watson in a second, but finish up on the new guys. How about Mills, Jalen Mills? Is he safety? Is he corner? Do we know? Like who's in if Gilmore's not in?
Yeah, playing. He's definitely gotten more. You know, I'd say the top corners right now are who you expect. It's J.C. Jackson and Jonathan Jones and Jalen Mills. And my real question was with Jalen Mills is he still going to stay with the green hair this year? Because he's
right, green.
You know, he's got the electric green hair out there, but it almost seems like he's trolling the Patriots.
Uh-oh.
That last time they lost the Super Bowl, it was to Jalen Mills' Eagles team. So it's time to start, you know, dyeing his hair red or blue or something.
Now, the Brady effect. We have seen Aaron Rodgers take the page right out of the Tom Brady playbook, and he's whining about not having a role in ownership and signing the players that he wants. But he did report. Were you surprised at that? And do you think between he and Deshaun Watson, the Patriots, depending on how this year goes, would have any interest in Rodgers or Watson next year?
After watching that press conference last week, how could you ever think that Belichick would want anything to do with Aaron Rodgers? What a whiny kind of baby that Rodgers came off as. I was really not impressed with that press conference. Great for us, great for media. It's great to hear him, you know, airing all the dirty laundry. But talk about a whiny baby. And, you know, you'd almost forget that the Packers have reached the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row and choked last year and should have made it. And they've actually surrounded Rodgers with a great team. And,
Demanded they trade for Randall Cobb. I mean, that is embarrassing.
Unbelievable. And all his gripes that he's airing, you know, Jordy Nelson and this guy, and the Packers made the right decision pretty much on every single one of them. So there's no way. My impression from that Rodgers press conference was there was no way he and Belichick ever would have survived. I know Belichick, you know, raves about him as a quarterback and respects him, but there's no way that those two would be able to coexist together, because Rodgers, I just don't think, has the mental toughness to be able to. And to me, it shows you how strong Brady was, that even though there was a lot of hidden messages and he did start to whine towards the end, Brady kept it bottled up for a long time, and Brady was a pretty good soldier through the whole thing. So
Ken doesn't even believe what he's saying. History. But, I mean, was nothing like anything Tom Brady has ever done in his entire career.
That was really embarrassing for Rodgers. Made him look really petty and small, and I was not impressed with that.
Are you shocked by the media that they, like, allow this from him? It's so I don't understand how you have this guy stand up there who's been to as many Super Bowls as Rex Grossman, stand there with this, like, PowerPoint Michael Scott presentation, just talking about, like, each player and how they were wronged and that nobody wants to go to Green Bay, when in reality the first free agent in the NFL that had that big payday was with Reggie White with the Packers.
Yeah, and they got, I remember a few years ago, the Packers generally don't spend in free agency, but they got Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, who were like the two big pass rushers a few years ago. They can get guys. I mean, no.
They must hate him. Like, that whole organization must
just
despise
him. Really sick of him. And what's so fascinating to me is you talked about how he took a page out of the Brady playbook, but Brady did it right. Rodgers just took big fat L's left and right last week. He came back. He blinked first. He got nothing out of it. They barely altered his contract. He's still under contract for them next year. Nothing about the Packers' plan has changed. I think all along they viewed 2022 as the time to go to Jordan Love. Rodgers didn't get any extra money. He didn't get any extra power. He just took big L's left and right, and I just think he came off so poorly with this whole episode.
Now, what about Watson? There was a report the Patriots kicked the tires on him before they drafted Mac Jones. Obviously the
yeah, sure.
criminal
can we
charges.
Get him for, can we get him for 10 cents on the dollar?
Is that all it was? No interest there. No possibility.
No, I'm sure there's interest, and I don't know for sure, but just, I mean, there's no way that anyone's giving the Texans a real offer for Watson until there's more clarity on his situation. No one knows.
Even your Dolphins.
This is Tua's year. This is Tua's. I think realistically, the only team that would trade for, I could see two teams, but really only the Eagles. Maybe the Panthers, but they just, you know,
what
invest.
The Colts now. Colts desperate here after this Wentz foot thing.
I could see it, but that's a lot of money. You're spending $20 million on Wentz this year to then go spend money on Watson as well. I obviously the Colts, if they are without a quarterback for any time, it's a no-brainer. They're going to go get Nick Foles. I mean, he's the third man in Chicago. He's only $4 million this year.
They brought in Brett Hundley today. That's how desperate things are. Curtis, you think nobody will sign Cam? If he got cut, Brett Hundley is
the answer.
Now's
the time to trade Cam.
Well, there you go.
I was thinking yesterday, I mean, and I don't think this will happen, but if Mac does beat out Cam, then I think that could make Cam expendable to a team like the Colts, but it's not going to happen.
And Mac, Hoyer, and Don LaGala. There's your quarterback room.
Oof.
Those are your big three.
And Stidham getting hurt, to me, only crystallizes that it's going to be Cam and Mac and Hoyer, and that's your three. And Don LaGala, I think you have to keep a fourth just because of COVID this year. Fascinating side story real quick is, even though the vaccinations are up and almost 90% of NFL players are vaccinated, I could see COVID's wreaked havoc this week, and I could see it wreaking arguably more havoc this year. We've seen Frank Reich had to be pulled. The Chargers lost their offensive line coach. Lamar Jackson picked it up. Guys are no longer masking. Guys are going out. They're not, you know, last year everyone was just staying at home and masking and taking every precaution. Guys are still getting tested. They're still getting popped, even if they're all asymptomatic and it's not as severe. COVID is still wreaking havoc and getting guys pulled left and right. So that's going to be a fascinating thing to watch.
Don't say that.
It's happening.
So you think it's going to be a nightmare? Like, will teams forfeit games?
No, I don't think it's for... No, because I think they have enough roster flexibility with the 16 guys on the practice squad. But, you know, I do wonder if it's going to be another year where everyone's holding their breath and on Saturday guys are going to be pulled from the lineup. And, you know, fortunately right now they're only getting tested once every 2 weeks. So that'll probably, you know, save some of the
angst. Just treat it like marijuana. Like, I mean, you know, don't test, and then you don't have to worry about it.
They should offer that as a incentive. If you get vaccinated, we won't test you for marijuana.
Is it your understanding that there may be some incredibly high-profile members of the organization that may have yet to be vaccinated?
I mean, clearly there are some Patriots players who are unvaccinated, and the guy I'm wondering about is Cam Newton, because he comes out to practice wearing a mask, and that is a telltale sign that you're not vaccinated.
And now, will you know, are they not, the Patriots are not required to tell the media who has
They
and
definitely
has
are
not.
Not required. I was a little surprised Cam wasn't asked about it yesterday. I unfortunately did not have the clearance to get in on the press conference, like the media protocols that the NFL sets up, so I couldn't ask Cam. But the fact that Cam is coming out to the field in a mask, look, maybe it could just be his choice, so I don't know for sure, but that is certainly a telltale sign that he's not vaccinated. If he's not, I'd be very surprised, because your best ability is availability. And for him, if he catches it again and he has to get pulled for 10 days or whatever, that would just, you know, he might never get his job back. So I don't know about Cam, but the fact that he wears a mask out to practice is a sign. And that to me would be surprising if Cam didn't have the vaccine, just because of everything it entails.
I mean, the two most high-profile people in the state, Greg Hill and Cam Newton, both may not get vaccinated.
Both very similar athletes, yeah.
Oh, is Greg playing the I already had it card, so I don't need to get vaccinated?
And he's sending us like Breitbart clips this morning. I don't even know what's going on. But the question for you about Bill Belichick, is it going to be Zoom the entire year?
As far as I know, no. For training camp right now, like if he goes 4 days a week, they're doing two or three of them on Zoom, and they're doing one or two live. So it's kind of a hybrid model.
Got it.
I'm okay with doing Bill on Zoom. The players I'd like to talk to in person, and I really hope we get open locker room back, because there are sensitive topics like vaccination that I'd rather not have to ask him with 50 cameras in his face. And it's a lot better for everyone if we could just talk off to the side quietly about it. So I hope we can get players in the locker room again. But Bill, if he wants to do Zoom, I'm okay. That's a good form for Bill.
Real quick, any sign that Patricia has indeed elevated status just watching practices down there? Because you kind of hinted he had his name on all those free agent contracts. Is he the guy in waiting with more evidence of that?
Well, he definitely has high status there. I mean, the other day at practice, during like individual drills, Bill is standing on the sideline chatting with Kraft, Teddy Bruschi, and Matt Patricia. There's your power couple there. So,
oh, Bruschi, new assistant coach.
Yeah, Bruschi, who looks, I mean, it's shocking that he was a middle linebacker in the NFL. I mean, he's lost a ton of weight and looks really good. But I mean, Patricia's on the inside, and he's one of the few guys there who's been around for a long time. He's got obviously Belichick respects him a lot. He's been to most of the Super Bowl appearances that the Patriots have been involved with, and they put him in charge of the salary cap and the negotiations. So Patricia, I think he's got a lot of Ernie Adams this year. I think he's going to be sitting in the press box. I think he's going to be helping identify personnel and trends and things like that. I don't think he's going to be on the sidelines.
Is he going to be where the pregame meal is?
Stop it. That's not very nice.
Now, Tommy Kern just walked into the building. He made a face at you when you declared that to be truth about Patricia. But you guys get along okay? We have a little crossover, a little meeting of the minds, your football minds.
Sure.
Bolin and Curran next.
I love it.
Before the Mego and Curran show from 1 to 4. We'll do that on the way. It's the Ben Bolin Football Hour.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long.
Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to the Ben Volen Football Hour on EEI.
It's the Ben Volen Football Hour here on Sports Radio WEI. Coming up at 1, it is the Fitzy and Mego show. But today, no Fitzy. He's got a well-earned day off. And it will be Tom E. Curran for 3 big hours with Mego, the Quick Slants duo on NBC Sports Boston. We'll be together. Here, it's Ken Laird, my buddy Chris Curtis, and Ben Volen. It's his hour. Volen, though, is a controversial guy at football practice with the Patriots, right? I mean, you're well-loved by the staff down there, by the fellow reporters. You got a lot of friends.
Absolutely. They roll out the red carpet for me.
You got a few enemies as well, I'm sure, but I mean, we don't dwell on that. But you and Curran get along, correct?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
the face he made when you were discussing Matt Patricia's role with the team was not pleasant behind you, but, that's fine.
We have... Frequently, I can look at something or hear something, and I will interpret it entirely different from the way Ben does. That's the disconnect.
And who ends up being correct more times than not?
Tom.
I'm on a hot streak.
I stopped keeping score a while ago.
But, for instance, with the Patricia thing, my understanding is he's more in a situation where this is a safe haven for him.
Sure.
Get yourself back on your feet, figure out what you want to do, and... It's not as much a boom, put him up. Now, what was your take on what Bill said today? Excellent job, by the way, of drying him out. I don't know why Bill likes you as much as he does. I really don't.
I don't know.
It confounds me.
Maybe he respects the fact that, I ask him real questions sometimes.
100%.
Yeah.
What was your take on it? Because my takeaway is different than everyone else's so far.
I mean, my takeaway is that he wants to make it clear that Cam is the leader at the position.
All right.
But, I mean... That doesn't mean he's guaranteed to be the week one starter.
100%. Because I thought the biggest takeaway from that, and Mego and I are going to pound the hell out of this, is there is something that had to be done to make sure that Cam Newton came back right before free agency so that they could say, see, we still have a quarterback. And to tell him now, 3 days into camp, that, he's no longer the starter, would be a huge misstep. The biggest part of that to me, Ben, was him saying, it's going to be a hard decision. That's a big friggin' leap for a guy who's only had 3 shorts and jerseys practices under his belt.
But Bill said that today and then caught himself. So is that what you're talking about? Like Bill almost had to correct the record. Like when he said it's going to be a hard decision, but Cam's our starting quarterback, as I've said.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought the syntax was that he said, no, the starting quarterback declaration came after that.
It came after that,
but in a different question.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
I'm getting pretty granular here.
He said, "I'm sure it'll be a hard decision. We'll see how it goes." But then I said, "So do you have an ideal time frame?" And he could have easily just said, "No, we'll do what's best for the team."
Right.
And he said, "Well, Cam's our starting quarterback." I mean, he didn't have to say that.
He didn't, except for the fact that you sold that particular player on coming back and letting him know he's at the top of the depth chart. If you already say that this competition we've already established in shorts and jerseys. That this thing is practically a draw, then the rest of the players might say, I thought we weren't evaluating. I thought this was an extension of minicamp. What do you mean? He just lost his job?
Well, that's what Schlubs like me thought earlier in the week with the clean slate comment.
When he said that,
I thought, oh boy, now we got a competition.
See, I thought that was just simple Belichick mantra that he would use every year, regardless. I have to set my level. Everybody has to set their level.
Tommy, so you said he had to be sold on coming back, but... That insinuates that there may have been other suitors for Cam. I mean, what were his options if the Patriots didn't offer him a return this year?
Wait. Continue to wait. Figure it out. Maybe he's in Indianapolis right now.
Right.
But you have to sell him in something. Look, Cam, you understand. We can't give you.
Yeah, but Cam didn't want to wait. He waited last year, and it cost him. He wanted to get into a team early and get into camp and learn, get with the playbook.
And he did.
And he did.
And in doing so, Belichick had to provide him something. So if he wasn't going to provide him the money, and he wasn't going to provide him the term, what did he provide him?
Support.
An opportunity to start.
And I think an opportunity to start.
And I think it's clear that Cam is the front runner, And barring Mac Jones just coming out and kicking his butt in camp, I think Cam is the starter.
But I think that's why today, after 4 days, he has to continue to say what he said to you.
Right, but he didn't say, he could have said that on Wednesday or whatever, and he didn't. He specifically
did
not.
The beginning of camp mantra, and this is where I differ with you, the beginning of camp mantra is always establish your level. Doesn't matter whether it's Brady or Cam or McCourty. He's not going to say anything different. So that, to me, was not as big a deal when people said, whoa, it's a dead heat. I just didn't think it was a big deal because that's what he says at the beginning of camp. Everybody has to establish a level.
Is this out of character for Bill? Is this coddling Cam, or is that an inappropriate way to phrase it?
I think that it is expressly related to Cam's role with the team and the things that Belichick had to say to him to get him to accept a crap amount of money in a short term. And that is to say, I love you. I respect you. I'm not going to humiliate you. And I'm going to give you the first chance to be our guy.
Interesting. All right. Well,
that's my take. Nothing he's saying is wrong.
Yep.
But we have a different viewpoint on the entire thing.
All right, well, good stuff, guys. And we're looking forward to the Mego Curran Show coming up from 1 to 4 today. Ben, excellent work.
Thank you, boys.
You set the dialogue today. Congrats to you. Curtis, we'll see you Monday morning.
All right. Looking forward to this next 3 hours with Tommy and Mego.
It'll be awesome. Stick around.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.